This is Brittany Owens. I'm doing an interview with Miss Julia Canty of Dawson, Georgia.
All right. Close to home. So, when and where were you born?
Actually, I was born in Georgia, Montgomery County, Georgia.
Montgomery County. Where is that?
It's, well, they call it ALA. It's between Mount Vernon and Vidalia.
Oh, I have a friend from Mount Vernon.
Oh, okay.
Mount Vernon and Vidalia. It's like, that's East Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Southeast Georgia. All right. Your family tree, can you tell me about your mother's side of the family? And like their origins?
My mother, actually, everybody was born, like, right down there in Montgomery County. My mom was from a pretty large family. She had seven sisters and three brothers.
So you said the house that your father inherited with the land, you weren't raised in that house?
Mm-mm. Actually, he just inherited the land. He built the house that's okay. Still there now that my brother lives in. He built that in 1967, I think it was.
What was the main economy in the community?
There was a sawmill.
Okay.
Pulp wood and that kind of stuff.
So your dad, did he work in the sawmill, or he just made a living off of farming?
He worked in the sawmill. He just kind of, I guess you would call it like a little foreman. He would deliver the men to and from work.
Oh, okay. So that was his main income?
Mm-hmm.
You said your father inherited about 40 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know like when, like the time, like when he inherited?
Not really.
Right. So your father's income as a foreman to the sawmill, was it enough to keep the family stable?
Along with the vegetables and stuff that he grew on his own, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why do you think your father chose to do farming and not just go straight with the sawmill?
Well, he loved the land. He loved to get out there and watch stuff grow. He was kind of an outdoorsy type person.
How did your dad like manage the farm? Did he need regular credit for seed or fertilizer, or did he just pay cash with his money that he got from the farm?
He must have paid cash. He was just not a big believer in credit. He mostly just saved up and paid cash for whatever he wanted or whatever he needed.
Did your father always work his land? I know earlier you told me that your father, he also rented land from others and worked their land.
Mm-hmm.
Did he have anybody working on his land?
Just, you mean other than himself? Or
right.
And my brothers and, like the people in the community, it wasn't like where he was actually making a whole lot of money from it.
Okay. So did he take on like renters? He didn't take on renters or sharecroppers?
Mm-hmm. No.
What kinds of work did your mother ever work on the farm?
Yeah, well, not on that farm. She would go out sometimes. I don't know that you would know anything about that. Like where people used to go out and pick cotton and gather the tobacco. She used to do that sometime in the summertime.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
On other people's farms.
Okay.
because my dad never grew any cotton or tobacco, anything like that.
Okay, what about your father? What kind of work did he do on the farm?
Other than just growing the stuff and tending the crops, that's about it.
Oh, so he never plowed a mule or anything?
Well, yeah, he had to do that to grow the crops.
The decisions made about the house and the farming, and just like general y'all life or whatever, was mm-hmm. it made more by your mother or your father? Or did they do it together?
My dad.
Your dad?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know if they had any government contracts or loans or had any, no government mm-hmm. agencies?
Mm-hmm. No.
So no government mm-hmm. intervention. Do you think a single man or one single woman could have worked the farm alone and just been okay?
No.
Why you say that?
Because that's what I'm trying to do out here, because my husband works in Texas. He's here now, but he's gone most of the time, and I'm just looking at just a little bit that we've planted out there that I'm going to have to try to do. And so I'm like, oh, my God. With all the heat and the gnats.
Yeah, that's
dedication,
because
it was like 105
degrees the other day.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of work did your brothers and sisters do on the farm?
Mostly, like, keeping the weeds out and gathering the crops, helping to plant the seeds and stuff like that.
So basically, like, just the small stuff mm-hmm. that they could do. What age did they start working on, or did y'all start working on the farm?
Early, that's 8 years old, doing a little something.
So, like, as you grew in age, the kind of responsibilities on the farm
increased. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you describe, like, an average day in the life, of a farming?
You mean back then or now?
Oh, yeah, back then.
Oh. Well, getting up real early in the mornings. And my mom would always make sure that there was some food cooked. I personally did not do a whole lot of farming back then. So
are you the
baby
girl?
No, I'm in the middle, but I didn't. I left there when I was 13 years old.
Oh.
And I went to live in Detroit. So I did not really do a whole lot of farming.
Okay, was it you who left?
Mm-hmm.
Just you?
And my oldest sister lived in Detroit, so I went to live with her.
What year was that?
And let's see, I'm 64 and I was 13 then, so I graduated from high school in 1964. And I went to all of high school in Detroit, so it's probably in about 59 or 60.
Okay. So would you consider yourself being a part of the Great Migration?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, the Great Migration was before that,
mm-hmm.
huh? Yeah, it was. Okay, so you said you went to high school in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
How much education, did your family receive? I mean, you said you don't know much about your grandparents. Well, what about your parents?
My dad did not have a lot of formal education, but he was a very smart man.
As a lot of people mm-hmm. were, because you mm-hmm. have to know. Mm-hmm. You have to be smart. You can't go out there blind. And what about your mom?
My mom finished high school, but that was as far as she went. But my dad did not finish high school, but he was, I've never seen a math problem yet, even after or whatever, that he couldn't figure out.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And you can throw a timetable mm-hmm. in my face and I look out on my fingers. I am not good at math at all. All right, what, did your parents place a lot of value on education?
Mm-hmm. Especially my dad, he was wanted all of us to, well, first of all, he placed a lot of value on integrity, I guess I would say, because, he would want you to go to school and get a good education, but if you didn't, whatever you did, make sure it was honest work and that you were the best at whatever you did. Yeah, I remember I always used to tell us, can be a if you're a ditch digger, you be the best ditch digger there is. So, you know, he...
Did all of your brothers get the same level of education? Our brothers and sisters, excuse me.
No. I have, my youngest sister graduated from Athens, what is it, University of Georgia?
Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I have two brothers that went into like cosmetology. My brother has hair salons in Atlanta.
Okay.
And the couple of them went into the service. I went to business school for a little bit in New York, but then I kind of decided that wasn't for me.
So basically, everybody just took different paths.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody,
yeah.
Okay. So as long dad was happy, as long as everybody was doing something,
right?
And just for money.
Exactly. Right. Now there was no such thing as you just lay around and don't work. No, that was not an option. Period.
It's funny, as much as things change, things stay the same. Because a lot of stuff that you're saying, my mom's saying to me right now. So, it's amazing. What was the school like that you attended in Georgia?
Okay. The last school that I attended in Georgia was like a one-room schoolhouse with all the grades practically, in one room, one teacher. And I think right after I left there, they built another school where it was supposedly integrated and, you had different teachers and different classes in a much larger school. But when I went to school there, it was, segregated, of course, and just like a one-room schoolhouse.
Okay. What was the school like in Detroit?
Different.
I think it was like
huge school. I think there was like over 600 people in my graduating class. We were down there, it probably would have been about 20 people at the most. And the school there, of course, is integrated, but it was very different for me.
Really? Like, what was it like? Culture shock? Was it like, did it was an eye opener?
It was. All of that and more. At 13 years old and you're coming from a little small town and you see all of these people and it's like I got lost so many times just trying to get from one class to the another. So, it was very different.
Did people make fun of your accent?
No, I didn't really have much of an accent. That was another thing that my dad always instilled in us. Correct English, you speak correct English. So.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents have to pay tuition or pay for your books at either school?
No.
Who did you guys live with when you were in Detroit?
I live with my sister, my oldest sister.
Oh, she's how many years older than you?
She is 14 years older than me.
Oh, 13, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think education made a difference when you were coming up?
Yeah. Not as much as it does now, though.
Okay.
I don't. Because it seems like now you have to have a college degree to do just about anything.
Everything. Do you have a picture of the farm or the community from that you grew up when you were in Georgia?
No, I sure don't. I can find one if I can look for and find some kind of pictures, because I know there's some around. Well, my sister has some, so maybe I can get something from her and I can get it to you.
Okay. What was the community like in Georgia when you were growing up?
It was a very close community. In other words, it's if I did something down the street, by the time I got home, first of all, the neighbor might have smacked my butt already, and then you're going to get it again when you got home. So, it was really close. I think things were a lot different, a lot better than they are now. especially with black people. You know, it's like we kind of disintegrated. Mm-hmm. I know segregation was maybe bad, but I don't think integration as far as black people were all, was all that good either.
Because, like, we had to integrate into their
exactly.
society. They never, you know.
Exactly.
White society never had mm-hmm. to integrate with black mm-hmm. society. So, I really do agree mm-hmm. with you on that. I really do. How did people have fun, you know, or pass the time in your community when you were in Georgia?
They had little, I guess you would call them clubs, but they weren't like what you think of as clubs.
Like joint.
little jig joints.
Like,
yeah, oh, right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, dirt floors and, you know, but there was not a whole lot of all the shooting and drugs and stuff like it is now. But so people just kind of made their own good times, you know.
Right. Did y'all like play baseball?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a ball field. We played baseball and basketball and I just basically got in the street and played, you know.
Yeah, kickball and stuff like that. Okay. It's funny because like I grew up in Atlanta in the 90s, and all the stuff that you say you do, mm-hmm. you know, what I'm saying, that's what we used to do.
Yeah.
It's exactly. It's amazed me every time. All right. What role did your family play in the community?
My dad was very big in the community. They were, of course, big in church. You know, everybody went to church. And my dad was the little commissioner of the little town that we lived in.
Your father was the commissioner?
Mm-hmm. That's commissioner, city council, something. I know he was on some board or other. But,
okay, so he was politically active.
Oh, yeah. When President Obama got elected, I just cried that night because he would have been so thrilled to see that, my dad.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So what type of political organization was your dad in?
Well, whatever was available back then. You know, he belonged to most of the church groups and
the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did he hold a position there?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Was he in any fraternal organizations?
Yeah,
like a Mason?
Oh, yeah. He was a Mason.
Okay. They had a pretty life. Okay. What about the Garveyite movement?
Mm-mm.
The Pan-African movement?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. What about school? Was your parents active in doing your schooling?
PTA and all that kind of stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I know, so your parents, they probably voted.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your parents always
mm-hmm.
voted for like as long as you can remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you remember the year your parents were born?
My dad was born in 1909. And my mom was born in 1913.
Okay. Okay. What about you? Did you vote before the civil rights? No, you may not have been old enough to vote before the civil rights movement.
Well, I've been voting ever since I could vote. So I graduated in 1964. I was 17, so 65, 66.
Okay. So, do you remember any black political figures in your community before the civil rights movement? Or, like, black people with political clout?
No, not really. My dad was just about it.
Okay, so your dad was the man. Okay. Okay. What role did your family play? And other landowners in your community play in the civil rights movement?
Not a lot. There was not a whole lot of, you know, they would hold little meetings and stuff, but they weren't, you know, like out marching and stuff like that. Not that I recall, anyway.
Okay. Describe your family's relationship with white people in the area.
My dad had a actually a good relationship with him because, you know, the man that he worked for, like I tell you, he would take the men to work and all that stuff. He was also responsible for them getting paid and stuff like that. So he almost made that man rich, you know, but hey.
Okay, so isn't your father, he seemed like he was just an all-around, you know, mm-hmm. good man. So I think a lot of people respected his integrity.
Oh, yeah.
Was your family particularly close with any group, like a white family, or you remember, like, any white people that was just, you know, hey, you know?
Well, yeah, there was the Thompsons that, you know, the kids would come around and play. That's why, you know, I say that I don't know that if you leave children, you know, to their own devices, I don't think you would have all of this stuff that adults can put in their head sometimes. But yeah, even like the man that my dad worked for, his kids would come around and we would play together and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So like, did y'all, when you say you, y'all was at the ball field and they played baseball, were y'all, was it like integrated black baseball playing?
No. Mm-mm. Just one-on-one is what I mean.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did your family ever attend white churches?
No.
Did your family and white neighbors participate in death watches for each other?
I don't know that I would say that, no. I mean, like, they would come to, because when my father died, you know, there were a lot of white people there, but just particularly, you know, for just anybody in the community, no. Mm-mm.
Okay. Did your family and white neighbors help each other during the time of illness or injury?
Mm-hmm.
Just as
just as, you know, as neighbors and people that you knew. I mean, it wasn't like they would just anybody. If it was somebody that they knew, you know, they would come around and offer to help and bring food or whatever.
Okay. Do you remember a particular time where someone was hurt and your father looked out, or vice versa?
Not particular details. I mean, I remember a lot of people that would come and my father would take food to different people. And, you know, if anybody was in trouble, if they were in trouble with the law, the only thing he would always tell them, if you're caught driving drunk or with drugs, don't come to me. But, you know, anything else, you know, he would help people out. But,
Okay. Do you think landowning exposed your family to additional risk?
No.
Did a lot of people in the community own their own land?
Not a lot, no. Mm-mm.
Okay, but everybody was okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Were there any white people who tried to make your life harder because you were, you know, black landowners?
Not that I recall. You know, I hear my brothers tell stories, but I mean, I just don't remember a whole lot of that stuff. I don't know if it's because I left there at 13, but I don't, not that I recall. Mm-mm.
You say your brother remembers some instances?
Yeah, and he's younger than I am, but I think my dad talked to him more than, I mean, not that it affected us as children, but things that happened to my dad that he seems to know more about than anybody else, because, you know, a lot of the things that he said, I don't remember it.
Okay. What could your family do to protect itself?
I don't know. The only thing I can think of is maybe, you know, what they did. You know, try to live a good, clean, honest life. Of course, my dad always had guns. He used to ride around with a gun in the back of the pickup truck window and stuff like that. So, I mean, I guess that's why he was at it. Nobody ever bothered him.
I guess it worked. Do you remember poor white people in your community?
Yeah.
How did they treat you, or was it any contact?
Not a whole lot of contact. You know, they would speak. If you saw them, they would speak. But as far as there being much contact, no, not really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about other white planters or landowners?
From what I remember and what I saw, they were all pretty decent to my dad. You know, they would come to him for advice and stuff. But I don't remember there being a whole lot of dissension, really.
That's good to know. What about white people from the city? How are they acting?
Actually, to me, there was more in the city than...
And you know what? That's what I'm gathering from these interviews. It's like, you know, I think it's more in the city than in rural areas. So, do you have any stories about encounters with white people in the city?
Not really.
Okay. Do you know of any landowners who were lynched or murdered by white people?
I don't. I would have to get that from my brother, too, because I don't. But he, you know, I've heard him tell stories that my dad told him about people that were lynched, but I really don't remember. I don't know.
Okay. What advice would you give me if I were to go back in time and I was, you know, me and you were just, you know, if I was your sister, if I was a year younger than you, what advice would you give me about, you know, how to behave?
You mean back during those times?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, the only advice that I would say would be to, I guess, like we were always told, study hard, try to live a good life, you know, and stay out of trouble. Don't put yourself out there. And I guess that means something different today than it did back then, you know.
Do you think your family's experience was different from that of white landowners?
Well, I mean, I can't prove it, but probably, you know, because of the times, even though I don't know of a whole lot of hard times that we had, because, you know, it's what you're used to, you know. So to me, you know, I hear people talking, and I don't remember having any what I would call real hard times. I mean, I guess thinking back now, I guess we were poor, but back then I didn't know we were poor. That's what you're used to. It didn't feel like to me that we were poor. We had, you know, as much or more than anybody else. So, but, you know, looking at it from today's standpoint, you know, I guess we were. But I don't remember there being any real, what I would call real hard times.
How was your family's experience different from black tenants? Like people who solely gain all their income from sharecropping?
I don't know that there was that much of a difference, because, you know, it's like everybody just kind of pitched in and helped one another. There was like no line drawn, no distinction as far as I remember. It was just, you know, everybody trying to get along, and you do what you can for your neighbor, and, you know, they might not have what you have, but
how did World War, you probably won't remember how, if World War, war had affected your family. The New Deal, did that have an effect on your family? Mm-hmm. Did your family receive any governmental assistance or subsidies?
The only thing I remember is that government cheese.
The big block?
That's about, and then after a while, because my dad was like really very independent, and he did not, you know, he said that they wanted to know too much about you, so, you know, he would do without it.
So he didn't get a farm home and administration.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Mm-mm. Your father was rock solid. What about World War II? Do you remember any of your brothers and sisters or any uncles or aunts going off to the war?
My uncle, I had one uncle that was in the war that lived in Washington, D.C., but I don't remember a whole lot about him. My brother, I had two brothers that were in Vietnam, but...
You say you grew up in you have was a sawmill town. Do you know when the local industry started to move in? Do you remember when they moved in, or when you were when, as far as you can
remember? They were just always there.
Okay. Do you think they had an effect on your farm?
Well, to the extent that I guess it made things a little better as far as the farming, because, you know, like what my dad did, it made it possible for him to have money to buy the seeds and stuff that he needed to work on the farm.
Okay, when your father... When you say your father was a farmer and he took the man to and from work and just you know, like, well, he was a farmer.
Right.
Do you think he faced discrimination in that line of work?
No.
Did your family participate in crop control programs?
No.
Did your family participate in elections for the AAA?
No.
Did y'all have access to the extension services?
Mm-mm. We didn't know nothing about any of that stuff. Matter of fact, I didn't know anything about it until I moved here.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What about, no county agricultural services?
Mm-mm.
Did you participate in 4-H?
In school.
In school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was that like? What were your memories of it?
Pigs.
Pigs?
That's about all I remember about his pigs.
So y'all had the, I guess, farm?
Watch over the pigs and feed them and take the slop and all that stuff to them. Oh, God.
It sounded like you hated that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long did you participate?
One school term.
One school term. What did you learn from it? Did you think it was, necessary?
No.
It sounded like you hate those pigs.
Uh-huh.
Did any, did you or any women in your family join home demonstration clubs?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I've been to home demonstration parties, but as far as joining a club, no.
Okay. Did your family own farm equipment?
You mean my brothers and or me, or my oldest brother does? Matter of fact, he has, I guess, about 30 acres that he farms. And he's got, you know, the tractors, and they put a well in for him and stuff like that. But,
okay, what about when you were coming up? Did your family own any farm equipment?
Yeah, my dad had tractors, you know, and, you know, stuff that... graduated from the mule to the tractors. So.
Right, tractors.
Mm-hmm. Hoes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just regular farm
right.
equipment. Okay. You said your dad did not believe in credit,
mm-mm.
so he purchased
mm-mm.
cash. Okay. Do you remember the first machinery purchase?
I sure don't.
Okay. Oh, do you know around what time did he buy the tractor? Like how old you were?
Well, it was before I went to Detroit, so I guess had to be in the 50s sometime, but I don't remember what year it was.
Okay. When did your family make major purchases, like a car, a stove, a phone, a radio?
When?
Mm-hmm.
You mean what year?
Like what year, like how old you were when they started making big purchases?
I'm trying to think when we got the first telephone. I'm trying to remember, did we have a phone when I went to Detroit? I think we did, so. Probably about 1957, I would think.
So when, so your parents didn't have a car when you moved to Detroit?
Yeah, I was talking about a phone.
Oh, okay, you said put stove. What about their car?
My dad always had like pickup trucks.
Oh, he didn't. Okay. So as long as you're in your father, I'll pick up. Do you remember the radio? Did y'all have a radio?
Yeah, we seem like we've always had a radio. That's about all we did have, but we always had a radio. We didn't have a TV until much, much later.
Okay. So how did your parents enter consumer culture? Like, how do they spend their money? Aside from the necessities.
Necessities, that's about it. You know, except, you know, Christmas, we always got stuff for Christmas. But of course, you know, with so many kids, you hardly had your own bicycle. You had to share one. And my dad liked, he was into little gadgets, you know, whatever little gadget would come out, you know, he, but as far as like really, really, like what the way we do now, they didn't, you know, mostly necessities and saving.
Okay. That's pretty smart. Mm-hmm. Were your choices different? Were you, when you enter consumer culture, did you save and do the necessities like your parents, or were you just trying to get your hands on everything?
Well, not trying to get my hands on everything, but yeah, some of the I didn't do like they did. No, unfortunately, maybe, but no, I didn't do like they did. I don't, not that I think that's a bad way to be, and right now I think it's a real good way to be, but no, you know, when you kind of used to penny pitching, when you get a little money, you kind of go wild for a while, but
yeah,
then
you come right back.
Exactly.
Understand that. Did y'all buy or make clothes?
Bought.
Okay.
And there was a lady, my mom didn't make them, there was a neighborhood lady that sold, that made a lot of our clothes too. But they did make like quilts. You know, I remember the quilting parties that they used to have, you know, the ladies would get together to make quilts and stuff like that.
Just real clean, fun. Mm-hmm. Things have to change. What did land owning mean to your family?
Well, to a degree, independence. You know, not total independence, but it meant that, you know, you had something that belonged to you and nobody could put you off the land.
Did it instill any values, skills, you know, or attitudes that's been passed down for the generations? Because I think all Georgia has become the state it is because of the farmer's work ethic and because of the values of the farmer and the integrity of the farmer. So I think that's where everything comes from the farm.
Yeah. Well, you know, like what you said, work ethic, you know, like, there, it's just not an option not working. You know, even I don't work now, sometimes I feel guilty that I'm not going to work somewhere.
Well, I gotta do something. You can't just sit back and sit on your hands.
No, I've been, when we first moved here, I like kind of went crazy remodeling and tearing down the house. So it's kind of, and there's still a lot that I want to do, but you know, you have to wait until you get some money. So, you know, but, and working in the yard and stuff like that, but, that's mostly it. You know, you work. You work for what you want. You don't sit around and expect somebody to hand you everything. You just, it's like I said, it's just not an option not to go to work.
Okay. What do you tell your children about the land owning heritage?
Well, we just have one son, and he's kind of getting a little, him and his wife was here a couple of weeks ago trying to help me out in the garden. They're kind of getting into it a little bit, but that's just not his thing.
Where is he from?
He was born in Miami, but he lives in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Worked for Norfolk Southern there in Atlanta.
What do you, in 30 or 40 years, what do you want the next generation to know about what farming meant to you and just having that farm life upbringing?
It meant to a degree, I just like to see things grow and like plan this stuff out there. What I want to do, what my dream is, Karen and we belong to this little group. What I'd like to do is plant the stuff out there and just invite people to come in and pick the vegetables and eat. You know, especially with the way things are today, you know, as long as any source of food that you have, to me, I consider an asset. If you can plant stuff and there are a whole lot of things I don't eat. You know, people think that because I was born in Georgia, grew up in the country, a lot of stuff I do not eat.
Like what?
Okra. Watermelons, all that stuff. No, I don't eat that stuff.
I see you went to Detroit.
No, that's I didn't eat it before I left there. You know, and a lot of people think that, you know, because we're from a big family that you're just eating it. No, I don't like that stuff. No grits, no rice.
You're breaking my heart over here. I would eat everything you just named in one big stew.
Oh, God. But I like to plant stuff and, you know, give it to people or whatever. And I'll believe it or not, I also like to cook. I love to cook, and I can cook. And all that stuff that I cook that too, but I don't eat it.
You just don't eat
it? Mm-mm.
You're a pretty amazing cook. So when you say your father, he vegetables like corn, peas, okra, squash, mm-hmm. and greens. So when your mom cooked, did she cook you a separate set of vegetables?
No, there was nothing like that. She cooked, if you didn't eat it, you just didn't eat. Period. Not like it is today. You cooking this for this one and just no.
Yeah, that's how my mama mm-hmm. was like. And don't go get no mm-hmm. cereal. Mm-hmm. Don't go get a hot dog. Mm-hmm. And you eat what I cook.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, I used to be really, 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 really skinny, because, you know, there was nothing going back to get anything. But we did have like fruit trees, go and eat plants and stuff like that. But that rice and grits and stuff, no, I did not eat that. I didn't eat it as a child. I don't eat it now.
So what about your brothers and sisters? Were they kind of,
They were kind of picky, too, all of them. Except for the baby, she kind of eats everything.
that's me. Well, thank you so much, Miss mm-hmm. Kenty. It was a pleasure interviewing
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you.
Likewise.
Probably didn't give you any information, but
you did.
There were another couple of ladies here on Monday when Karen was here. We had a meeting. I wish you could have come in because they are older, even older than me, and they grew up right here in Tyrrell County, mm-hmm. and they have land that was passed on to them from their mom and dad, you know, and they probably could have given you a lot more information than...
I mean, you gave me plenty mm-hmm. of information because everybody's story is not the same. You know, and your mm-hmm, story is mm-hmm. different from this because everybody's story is different.
Right.
I mean, there's some parallels, but everybody, mm-hmm. and that's what we're trying to mm-hmm. capture, the details and the difference in stories.
Right.
So your story, mm-hmm. you know, it was just as important as mm-hmm. the next person.
Yeah, but like I said, I like to work in the garden out there on the farm, and we hopefully, once my husband's not working in Texas anymore, we'll expand it. But, I just think that owning land is important. You know, it seemed like it's not as important as value-wise now that it used to be. It used to be if you owned some land, you know, you had something, but the way things are going now, who knows?
All right. This is Brittany Owens signing off.